May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was driving on Interstate 81 Thursday. I began to get really mad at the 18-wheeler in front of me, loaded with logs, staying right there in the left lane beside another 18-wheeler in the right lane for miles and miles, while all of us who could actually go faster were chomping at the bit to pass. Have you ever had that happen? I was upset as well at the car that was tailgating behind me too close. My dad taught me the 2-second rule to leave enough space behind the car in front of you for safe driving. So much for gracious thoughts and forgiving, much less 77 times. Until I remembered a Sunday morning last spring. I was driving from D.C. to Amherst, where I would be preaching. I left plenty of time to get there early and enjoy the drive. You may know the way between Fredericksburg and Charlottesville. It winds you on 2-lane roads past cornfields and Virginia hamlets. I noticed some Adirondack chairs displayed up ahead on the left at a garden center. I needed an Adirondack chair for a spot in my garden, so I thought, why not make a quick stop? I pulled in. It turns out the store was closed. I mean, this is Virginia, and it was Sunday morning. But I got out, stretched my legs, took a look before getting into my car. I was thinking about where it might go, a good spot for meditation. And I pulled out, turning left, back down the road. And suddenly, right there in front of me, over a small hill, a car was coming right towards me in my lane with another one behind it. Adrenaline surged. I quickly swerved right up onto the hill, the grassy hill on the right, barely in time to not be hit or hit them. I looked around and I realized this was one of those few places where it was not a 2-lane road, it was a 4-lane divided highway. And I had just turned right into oncoming traffic. Catching my breath, imagining how I might have killed myself and someone else, I slowly drove off the median. Thank heavens I have an SUV. Onto the road, going the right direction. Almost immediately, a police car showed up right behind me. Now, what was a police car doing in that isolated spot on a Sunday morning? Maybe he was my angel. Anyway, I pulled over, rolled down my window. He said, I saw the whole thing. I thought I was about to call medevac or a funeral home. Are you okay? I said, yes, I'm fine, sir, and explained my mistake. Do you know where you're going? I didn't tell him I was going to church. I assured him I knew where I was going, even though I suspect he doubted that. But he let me go on my way, having mercy on me. A much smaller mercy than the great mercy of God that saved me and whoever was coming my way that day. For the rest of my drive, and whenever I remember that moment, I realize I could have been the driver who hit and killed a family coming to church on Sunday morning. I could have been the driver who hit a teenager who I was ministering to in the UVA emergency room several weeks ago as a chaplain. That day, and whenever remembered, I'm aware of the great wide mercy of God. I wonder what mistake or wrong or besetting sin in your life grabs you in the gut with horror and humility and makes you aware of the huge mercy of God. It may be something that weighs heavily. You did something wrong after having one or maybe three too many. Stealing something. Saying or doing something very hurtful to a friend. Or it may be small but ongoing. Losing your temper and hurting the people you love. White lies to make you look better. We will never get the gospel for today in our guts unless we realize the great debt we owe to our God and the great forgiveness that we have been offered. Our gospel for today begins with Peter asking Jesus how many times he has to forgive another member of the church when they sin. We have all wondered this in our own heads. How many times do we have to forgive the member who always shows up late and without their casserole? The neighbor who keeps making too much noise late at night after you've asked them to be more respectful. The church member who's annoying over and over. Peter, who we had read in Matthew 16, confessing Jesus as the Messiah, and in Matthew 17, witnessing the transfiguration, probably thinks himself a spiritual leader, suggests seven times might be generous forgiving. He's referencing the Genesis passage where God says anyone killing Cain, who killed his brother Abel, will be avenged seven times, an example of God's mercy on a murderer. But Jesus, our Jesus, says, not seven times, Peter, 77 times. And then Jesus does what he is like to do. He tells a parable. We know today's parable as that of the unforgiving servant. A slave of a king owes 10,000 talents. The servant falls on his knees before the king, who demands he pay and be sold together with his wife and children. And the slave says, have patience on me, I will repay you. The Lord releases him, forgives him the debt. But that very same forgiven slave goes out, seizes a fellow slave who owes him 100 denarii, and when asked to have patience, instead throws him into prison. Now, 10,000 talents, we know that's a lot more than 100 denarii, but just how much is 10,000 talents? It's the greatest denomination used in accounting for money or weight in Greek. A talent is equal to 6,000 denarii, and one denarii was a laborer's wage for a day. So 100 denarii would be 3 months' wages. 10,000 talents? More than we can hardly count. 2 points from this calculating when we realize just how great is the disparity. First, 10,000 talents is so enormous an amount, the slave would never have been able to repay it. Like Ma making up for killing someone, had I hit them. No way to make up for that. God's mercy for us is enormous, beyond even what's required for my friend Jose serving a term in prison for double murder. Yes, our God will forgive when we plead for that forgiveness. Anything, no matter how huge it is in your life, our Lord has 10,000 willing to forgive 10,000 talents worth. Now, the second point is the slave pretends that if God had patience, he'll be able to pay it back. Do you think he could have paid back that much? That is like when we, being good Southerners, decent Christian people, think we can earn our way into heaven by the good graces of God when our works can be enough. And we go, no way. We can't work long enough and hard enough to pay, even if we think we're saints, to make up for the enormity of the mercy that God shows us for our failings. Generally, comparison is not very helpful in life, right? I mean, if we compare ourselves to someone who has more or is more capable than we become jealous. If we compare ourselves to someone who has less or is less capable, we become prideful, not good for our souls. However, in this particular parable and in the area of forgiveness, Jesus invites us to compare. If we simply look at what someone has done that offends us, whether it's a huge offense, for example, a spouse betraying the marital commitment, or an employer firing you without seeming cause, or a smaller offense of regularly being late or saying something unkind about us, looking at the offense only makes us madder, more righteous in our assessment that they are wrong, like me, continuing to look at that 18-wheeler going down the road and the tailgater behind me. However, when I remember the mercy of God to me that day on the road to Amherst, when I was spared a collision and forgiven by a policeman, whatever offenses others do to me, they seem small. No big deal. My king has forgiven me 10,000 talents. Who am I to force another to repay me 100 denarii? What is a large offense or ongoing irritations that you are having a hard time forgiving? When we recall our own big mistakes, when we were driving or living the wrong way, and the greatness of God's forgiveness, it can change our perspective and our heart. Our gospel today, the gospel of our Jesus, who we come back in this ordinary season, this green season, this start of the church school year season, the heart of this gospel has forgiveness right at its center. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we all will together today before the Eucharist, we ask forgiveness and we agree to forgive. When you come to the Lord's table today, if you still feel unforgiven for something big or little in your life, bring that to the table of the King who forgives 10,000 talents worth. And if you have something you're having trouble forgiving, let the taste of the bread and the wine turn your heart to the enormity of the love of our Jesus, who died for us, so that you just might walk away able to forgive in a whole new way. May it be. Amen.